Say, preach it. Say, my favorite. Say, come on. I love that one. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and thy mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded, I'm convinced. I know you're not operating in it right now, but I've seen you walk under the anointing before. I've seen you walking in your calling before. I've seen you walking according to the destination that God had for you before. I've seen the zeal and the desire that has been inside of you before. Wherefore, because of that, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. Because you didn't get this fire from yourself. And you didn't get that zeal by yourself. And you didn't get that passion by yourself. But somewhere you lost that zeal that God gave to you. Somewhere you lost that passion that God put inside of you. Somewhere that carelessness in the presence of God has some way, shape, or form left you. What happened to your exuberance? What happened to your joy? And what happened to your fire? And so when I remember what was inside of you, it's my responsibility that you stir up the gift. Come on, say somebody, stir up the gift of God that is within thee by the putting on of hands. Is there anybody here full of the Holy Ghost? Is there anybody here know the power that lies on the inside of you? Agree with me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I feel the anointing of Almighty God. I feel something stirring up inside of some individuals that's about to be unleashed that can hardly be contained right now. I don't even know if I'm going to finish the message. There's a fire in somebody that's like a bone, a fire shut up in their bones. They're about to explode. They can hardly can contain it. Pastor, I want to break loose. Pastor, I want to break forth. Pastor, I want the anointing of God to move in my life. If that's you, clap your hands and shout unto God. If it's you, say hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated if you like. When I was coming up, I loved playing sports. And I was a very, very competitive young man. And when we were coming up, if someone on the team was not fulfilling their role, we played pickup games, 30, 40 deep. So if you lost, you go sit 45 to a half, hour and a half because you lost. Because winners stay on the court. I could preach that right now too. So long as you have a fight in your spirit and you stay on the courts, you are a winner in the kingdom of God. But when someone was not fulfilling their role, somebody talk to me, there would be somebody, another player. Most likely it would be me because I was a point guard. I was a general of the team. You better hold down your assignment and you better get open because I'm not getting off the court. I ain't gonna sit here for 45 minutes and twiddle my thumb. I want to be in the game. I want to be with the Come on, I want to be where the action's at. I want to be where the fire is at. And what we would do, we would say something that would stir them, that would bring out the best in them. It wasn't to put them down, it wasn't to ridicule them, but it was, I know you got more inside of you, and you ain't living up to what's inside of you. And so what we say was the word, I'm calling you out. I want to preach to somebody today that God Almighty, He's calling us out. He
he's saying to somebody here in this place. He said, and he pressed upon my heart, there are secret places within many of you here under the sound of my voice. You have a secret place on the inside of you that might not yet be showing on the outside, but in the inner portals of your heart, there is a burning desire, a passion to be passionate about God. And I know I'm talking to somebody here today. There's something deep down on the inside of you that you are about to explode. You truly want the operation of God to unfold itself in your life. You're not playing games. You want a move of the Holy Ghost in your midst. You want to go to your city and you really want to turn your world upside down, your home upside, everywhere you go. You want to turn upside down. But the reality is that so many things in life has pulled you down and piled on top of that desire that has made the desire, which is there, but now the desire is simply dormant and it is sleeping. I was in the classroom this past week, and in the science class they were talking about a volcano. Now a volcano might not be spurting at the top, but always in an active volcano, if there's breath in your body, hallelujah, and blood in your veins, there's something stirring up on the deep inside. It may not be exploding right now, but there's something you feel is rising up. There's something you feel is stirring. Am I talking to anybody here in this place? I don't think I'm talking to people here that have not been touched by the anointing of God. I think if you're in an apostolic church, you felt something here you never felt before. If you're in the Pentecostal church, there's something you know is here that ain't everywhere. I'm going to tell somebody, that's a stirring inside of your soul. Something you truly want, but has simply been buried. The cares of life. You want it to be active. You're not denying it. You're not pushing it away. But in of yourself, you simply can't activate it. You want to be something for God. You want to know God deeper. You want to see his will unfold for your life, but you can't figure it out yourself. So eventually, you say it'll happen. Someday, it'll happen. But the word of the Lord of God is that he wants to call you out into that thing today. Today, he wants to say, this is your day where I'm calling you out, because you can't call yourself for the Holy Ghost. It ain't about you trying to reach out. It's about God reaching out to you. It's God calling you out to a place you can't get to yourself. Am I talking to anybody? You wanted it, but you couldn't get it by yourself. And so God says, I'm going to call it out of you then. I'm going to pull something out of you that you can't pull out of yourself. Is there anybody here that wants that? As you may know, I am a huge Chicago Bulls fan, and I remember Michael Jordan was retired from basketball after winning 3 straight championships in a row, and he had now went away for a full season and then into the next. And I remember vividly Scottie Pippen sitting on the bench, and he was wearing Michael Jordan's shoes, and he sat down and he put his feet up in the air that showed Michael Jordan's logo, and he pointed to his feet, and then he put the come on, come back side. You know what Scottie Pippen was saying? Michael Jordan, I'm calling you out. I know you're playing baseball, but you ain't a baseball player. Can I tell somebody? Let me tell you who you are. You are a son of the Most High God. I know you're doing other stuff. Am I preaching to anybody? I know you're trying to find other things to fill your mind. But as Scottie Pippen told Michael Jordan, you ain't that thing. That ain't what God called you to do. Michael, you were born to play basketball. Can I tell somebody, you were born again in the kingdom of God, and God has something he wants to call you into. He called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Be what he called you to be. There are people here doing some things, but not doing what you're called to do. You're not being what you're supposed to be. And what that's doing is breeding underlying frustration in your life. You say, Pastor, I can't figure it out. I'm telling you, God's going to help you figure it out. He's saying, you're more than what you've been doing. You're not doing what is your best. So when you're not doing something that's your best, it causes fatigue and frustration because you're not walking in your calling. You feel like you're working very hard, putting in the time, putting in the energy, extra practice, extra whatever you're doing, and it's still not working out for you, is it? It can't. You weren't born to be that. You weren't born to do that. And so God says you're working so hard in areas you're never going to be able to show nothing for, because I got something else I'm calling you for. Can I talk to you, Moses, for a while? Moses, you are now at a burning bush, because for 40 years you've been wandering around in a desert place. For 40 years you've been smelling like a stinky sheep on the backside of a desert. But now when I turn on the fire and I allow something impossible to become impossible, I'm asking you now, even though you walked by this way before, this time I want you to remove your shoes, because this time is holy ground. I know you've been in the sanctuary before. I know you heard a message before, but this time around, I want you to understand you're standing on solid ground. You walked in this place before, but I'm about to speak something into your life you never received before. And so when he removed his shoes, it was an act of activating his faith. By me removing my shoes, I'm in agreement with whose presence I'm in right now. And so from this moment on forward, spiritually speaking, you got to remove your shoes in faith and recognize he's talking to you, because you go miss what God wants if you think it's for your neighbor. God says, I ain't calling your neighbor out. I'm calling you out. I want to tell somebody, I'm about to change your future. You've been wandering for too long. You've been in the desert for too long. And so, Moses, the first thing I want to share is that I'm calling you to come out of your past. I'm talking to men and women here today that he's calling you out. And the first thing he's calling you out of is your past. Because Moses, in your past, you killed a man. Moses, in your past, you ran away. Moses, now you're hiding from your destination. Your calling was born, and you were put inside of a bulrush, and you were put on the River Nile, and an alligator didn't get you, an anaconda didn't get you, and Pharaoh didn't get you. Is there anybody here who's been through some storms? Is there anybody here that's been through some rains and some trials, but yet you're still here? Can I tell you, God has his hand on you, and now he's saying, if I brought you through all that, then the hand of God must be upon you. If I brought you through all that, then I still got something for you, and I know you're gonna pass. I'm not worried about your past. I'm worried about where I'm taking you, and so I'm calling you out of your past. I know you're gonna pass, but now you got a testimony that God can bring out anybody who has a past. God can bring out anybody who has a bad background. Calling you out, Moses. I'm going to tell somebody, I'm calling you out. Why? I'm calling you out because there are those that feel weak and insignificant because of their past. That's not me. I got too much of a rap sheet. I got too many things I've done. But there's something so powerful in knowing that God can call me even if. A lot of times, Jesus would say something in the New Testament that I love. He says, nevertheless, even though I have a past,
nevertheless. Because with God, I'm never the less. I'm always a victor if I let go. And if he's calling me out of my past, I'm going to walk with him in the destination that he's had for me. And next we have Samuel. Samuel, he's calling you out for a thing for your future. So Moses, he called you out of your past. And now Samuel, he's calling you out to your future. Because Samuel, you're just a child. Samuel, you're new in this thing. Samuel, you don't know where to start. Samuel, you see the great things of God and the stories of your past. But here you are, so unlearned, so ignorant, and so all you think is to do is all the minuscule minor things in the house of God. You're not ashamed of serving, but you just think that's all you're supposed to do. And you see the men and women of God in your life, but you don't think you can attain to that. And so God is also calling some Moseses out of your past, but he has to also call some Samuels, some people who think they're insignificant. And then God said, Samuel. And the cool thing I like about this story is that Samuel didn't know the voice of God. Because maybe you're here today and you're saying, I love God. I love the atmosphere of God. I love the temple of God. And I love the man of God. But I don't know God that well. I don't know how to get in his presence. I don't know how to worship. I don't know how to get jiggy with it. I'm just here. I'm just in the house. Can I tell you, even though he didn't know the voice of God, that didn't stop God from speaking to him. Can I talk to some people here that you feel like you don't have a walk with God? He's calling you out too. He's speaking to you too as well. Ain't nobody in this house disqualified. When God calls you out, he's calling you. So even though you don't know the voice of God, he's calling you out too. You're not exempt. You see, Samuel, he's living at a time when the ones you looked up to were not being great leaders and good examples. Everybody here has a pastor, has a brother, has somebody in leadership in Christianity that has failed you and has failed people. And sad to say, many people have fallen because of the failures of leadership. And here is Samuel watching the failure of the man of God in his life. And he was in a time where the Bible says the house of God was not being respected. The house of God had a lot of confusion going on in the middle of it. The house of God wasn't all that the house of God was maybe supposed to be at that particular time. And some people can get so discouraged that sometimes the house of God is not everything that it's supposed to be. And sometimes the house of God is not doing all that it's supposed to do. And many people in that place can get discouraged and walk out on God. But Samuel says, don't walk out on me, even though the house of God is not exactly the way it's supposed to be, because I'm calling you out. I don't know if everybody got that, but maybe you're looking at the things of God and the church of God, and you're saying somebody else should be fixing it. Pastor Barlow should be fixing it. Can I tell somebody? God calling you out. God saying, Samuel, I'm going to raise you up to bring the presence of y'all ain't hearing a word I'm saying. You know, I'm trying to tell somebody, God's calling you out. God's raising up some Samuels in this place that said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I might not have known the voice of God, but direct my ear enough, and I'm going to be somebody. And somebody needs to say this morning, I'm going to be an agent of change. Maybe my leadership couldn't change it, but God's calling me. I'm going to change the culture of my church. I hope everybody's here. I'm talking to you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. I hope you understand you're the Samuel. God's calling you out to change the culture of this church. I don't know how to say it any more clear. God wants you to be the one to change the culture of this church. Samuel, you're living in a time when the Bible says the word of the Lord was precious in those days because there was no open vision. That means that something is so rare, it becomes more precious. It was a time, the Bible says, that people were not receiving from the Lord the way that they should be as the people of God.
The word of God wasn't honored that much, so God was not going to cast his pearl among the swine. So the word of God and revelation was very rare because the people really weren't ready to receive it. It's funny how it's not about God. It's about the hunger in the people that God responds to. If you're not getting a word from God, it's not the preacher's fault.
Say it, brother. That's some good preaching right there.
Samuel, you live in a time, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 3:3, and the air of the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. So even though the ark and the ritual things of God was there, the presence of God was not there because there was no honor there. The lamp was in the right place, but the presence of God wasn't present. So there was, the lamp went out. The lamp was there, but the fire went out. The people were present, but nothing was burning. God forbid this church ever fills up with people that are the lamps, but nothing is burning on the inside. You can be in the house of God and not experience the presence of God. You can be sitting down in a pew and yet the glory of God is not present, because God does not want us to come week by week and sit on the pew, but there is no vision. But the vision can only come to those that say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." The glory of God can only come where there are willing vessels that will open up themselves and say, I need revelation. I need a word that comes from you. And when Samuel got in that place where he thirsted for the word of God, a change began to happen. All things that happen in the natural is following something that has happened in the supernatural. And so when they stopped paying attention to the fire staying lit, the Bible says that Eli's eyes begin to dim. You know, my mom used to tell me all the time, don't read in the dark. It's going to hurt your eyes. Now I get what she's saying. Because the Bible says Eli's eyes begin to wax dim. Why? Because you didn't keep the fire lit. And because you didn't keep the fire lit, you're not seeing revelation the way you should be. Am I preaching too deep here this morning? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so if you want revelation to come and tide your life, the fire has to be lit so your eyes don't become dim. What does the Bible say? The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so faith coming by the hearing of the word of God. Hallelujah. And so if you need a light to shine inside of you, you got to hear the word of the Lord. And not only got to be a hearer, you got to say, your servant is listening. The more I listen, the more revelation I get. And the more revelation I get, the clearer I can see now. Oh, I can go through a trouble now because I can see. Now the word of God is being spoken into my life. I feel the Holy Ghost right now for somebody. I want to tell somebody, the next few weeks, God is going to shine some stuff in your life. Is your light on? Are you ready? Are you in tune? Is your heart prepared for what God is about to bring down inside of your life? Is there a Samuel that says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening"? Speak, Lord. I want a vision. I want to hear you clearly in my life. Now, something so powerful that Brother Jeff Arnold said that I heard. He said, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. God does not call the qualified, all those that have it together. No, he qualifies those that he calls. And he's calling some Moseses here today. He's calling some Samuels here today. Like he called some unqualified disciples who were first fishermen. He says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. I know you don't know how to do it. I know you don't know how to walk in this way. I know you've never done this before. Walk in this power. Walk in this anointing. Walk with faith. Oh, I wish somebody would talk to me. I know you haven't walked as an overcomer. I know you haven't spoke positive words. I know you haven't got up and prayed and fasted and worshiped. I do believe that God is going to make everything all right. But before I'm done with you, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to qualify you. If I called you, I'm going to make it happen. If you want that, clap your hands in the house of God this morning. And this is what God told Samuel. He said, after he said, speak, your servant here. First thing he said, Samuel, behold, I would do a new thing in Israel. You're going to keep expecting it to happen the way it happened before. You're going to expect God to hit you with a bolt of lightning. But when you get revelation and you're ready to hear, he's going to start speaking some new stuff into your life. And if God's going to start speaking some new stuff in your life, you got to get ready for it. Talk to Wednesday night. You got to listen to the lesson. You got to start preparing your heart for what God's about to do. It's not going to happen by accident. And so until Samuel first said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, the revelation would never come. The revelation only comes after you get yourself in position. And when you get yourself in position, God says, now you're ready. I'm going to do something that I have never done before. It ain't going to be how it happened before. It ain't going to happen like you're used to it. Are you ready for it? Somebody get ready and say, I'm ready for God to make it happen. It ain't going to be by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. And so you know what happened to Samuel? Something happened on the inside of him. I'm going to do a new thing in your life, which means everybody's not going to understand it. They go say, how can it happen to you? I'm sorry that you don't understand it. I'm walking what I heard the Lord say. And so it might not be the conditional way. It might not be the traditional way. I'm not walking in tradition. I'm walking in my calling. Is there anybody here that says, I'm breaking forth out of tradition. I'm breaking forth out of my past. I'm going to listen to the voice of God. And I'm going to walk in my calling. I'm going to walk in my destiny. And we know Samuel did so many great things for God. Why? He says, this is what God says he go do. And he said, I'm ready. Is there anybody ready for what God's about to speak in the Lighthouse Church? And I got to make it more personal. Are you ready for what God goes speak in your own home? It ain't going to happen by accident. Out of your own mouth, you're going to say, God, do it in me. Come on. Raise your hand. Say, do it in my home. Do it in my life. Do it for me, Lord Jesus. I'm ready. And I'm going to qualify you. Martha. I'm calling you out too, Martha. Calling you to choose the best part, Martha. Look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Luke 10 and verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went, speaking of Jesus and his disciples, that he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Come on, Jesus, hang out around me. Come on, Jesus, be where I'm at. Come on, Jesus, make my house better. Come on, Jesus, bless my house. Come on, Jesus, answer my prayer. Come on, Jesus, live among my friends and my family. Come on, Jesus, hang out with me. God, come on, Lord, stay in the vicinity of where my neighborhood is. God, stay close to me, God. God, I want to be around you, Lord. I want to be near to you, Lord. Lord, come to my house, God. Don't pass me by. Oh, Jesus, I want you in my life, Jesus. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. I got to pound that in your hearts. You're not going to live overcoming life if you're not hearing the word of God on a consistent basis. I don't know how to slice it. I do all these cool gimmicks and gimmicks to get you guys in the house of God. I don't know why I have to do all these special things to get you to hear the word of God. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Nobody should have to twist your arm to hear the word of God. I cannot live, I cannot breathe without the word of God in my life. God, stir my soul. God is calling somebody out to help you understand it's time to make God the number one priority in your life. When you say, I got to get in the house of God, drag me in here if it's necessary. Put me up in a tree like Zacchaeus. I got to hear what thus saith the Lord. But the problem is, verse 40, Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister have left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she should help me. Jesus was in town, so Martha felt it necessary to get busy for Jesus, to work for Jesus, to labor, to have everything in order in my life so that things can be right for Jesus. I don't have time to listen to Jesus. I have to get ready for Jesus. I don't have time to come to the house of God. I have to get my house in order to get in the presence of God. I have to get my finances in order so that I can bless Jesus. I have to get my house cleaned up and get the things that I got to put in order together so that I can go and be with Jesus. Pastor, don't you understand? I do want to hear what Jesus has to say, but I have to take care of the other stuff first. That's good. And this context of Scripture says she was keeping it real. She was like, this is normal. Let me get my house in order first, then we'll sit at Jesus. That's why she had the audacity and the boldness not to rebuke Mary, but to rebuke Jesus. Can I make it plain? You're upset with Jesus. You're upset with the pastor for the pastor wanting you to hear the word of God. I'm not complaining as a pastor. I love being a pastor, but man, being a pastor ain't easy. My responsibility to you is to get you to heaven. That's my job, to get you to heaven. You're my responsibility. Jesus is trying to bring the word, but Martha's mad at Jesus. Tell Mary to leave your presence and help me get my house in order. Tell Mary to get a job. Tell Mary to get responsibilities. Tell Mary to get active in all these peripheral things because we got to get things ready for you, Jesus. How can I give my tithes if I'm not working? Half of y'all don't even pay your tithes. Half of you think that this church runs on credit. Have you think that somebody else pays the church bills? You don't have no responsibility. You just keep on getting the word, hearing the word, but you ain't gonna give one dime to the kingdom of God. I'm preaching about he's calling you out. He's calling out you church folk. You are not operating in what God called you to do because you are misunderstanding what we're trying to do. Pastor Ball is not trying to pay the electricity bill. Pastor Ball is not trying to put food on my plate. I'm going to feed my kids whether you give or not. But what I am going to tell you is that we have to preach and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're not giving of your tithes and offering, how can we do what God wants us to do? Everybody in the church should be paying their tithes. If God has blessed you with a job, then you should be giving 10%. Every dollar, you should give a dime to Jesus. Amen. He's calling you out. He wants the best to come out of you. He wants this church to be the best that it can be. And we have a work to do. We are not a social club. We are the ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Souls are on the way to hell if we don't wake them up and preach the gospel and share the love of God. And we need everybody on board. Everybody needs to get the vision of the pastor of this church. Everybody should be engaged in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that's why he saved you. Did he really envision this, Brother Wilson? Did he envision us to have church every single week? No, hear what I'm telling you. I mean, that's it, I mean. God went to a cross. Got beat to a bloody pulp so I could give nothing and just sit in a pew and say, see you next week. And that's what the gospel really is. Let me ask you a tough question I ask myself. I won't ask you something I won't ask myself. Did God really just save me? Outside of me preaching, just as a Christian. He shed his blood so I could come to church every single week, sit in a pew, and that's it. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Check out. I'm going to go watch some football like everybody else. And no wonder they do that, because they see people in the house of God. I'm going to say something real harsh real quick, because this is what really burns me up, because they were right. And I told this person, I said, you're right. Now hear the heart of what I'm telling you, okay? We had outreach, and they're new converts. They're joining in. They're on board. They're like, this is exciting. I know where I was before I came to Lighthouse. I know where I am now, and I'm progressing. I want to get this word out. And we called outreach, and the new converts are the only ones that showed up. And they were broken. And what could I say to them? What answer do I have for a new convert on fire for God? And they think that everybody's going to be a part of it. And we call outreach, and they're the only ones that show up. They're thinking, and they were honestly being real, and I appreciate them. They say, I don't even know if this church really wants believe what they got. What other view do they have to look at? All they can go by is what they see. The church. So you want me to join a church that I'm brand new and nobody shows up to outreach? Then what do you guys really want me to be a part of then? And I'm going to just speak truth. I'm going to keep it so honest right now. And I'm probably going to shoot myself for saying it. If I was that saint, you see where I'm going? If I'm keeping it real, man, I'm about to go somewhere else. I'm serious. I'm going to go to a church that has other believers that have a fire in their soul. And what am I going to say? What am I going to say? Well, you're kind of right. I mean, hey. I mean, what I do say is, you know, the pastoral word, you know, you just stay faithful. You know, what I always say, please, you faithful ones, please stay faithful. Because if faithful ones stop being faithful, what do we got? But do you guys hear what I'm saying as a pastor? Could you imagine Jesus begging his disciples to do what they were called to do? It sounds so ridiculous. If you're listening on the internet right now, this sounds so ridiculous that a pastor of an apostolic church is whining and complaining about church folk that won't do outreach. I sound ridiculous right now. But the problem is there's too many Marthas in the church. Too many Marthas. They're coming about with other stuff. Well, I can't go because I got a birthday party. I can't come because I got my car's broke down. I can't come. And there's always excuses. So we, as an administrative team, we got to be wise. Okay, let's get a calendar out in advance. And maybe if we get the calendar out, then they will actually plan the church stuff first. And then it would trump their secular stuff. That don't work either. That don't work either. I can't force this thing. If you don't want it, we're not going to have it. I can't force feed it to the church. I can't force a church to be on fire for God. And my frustration is I came from an on fire church. I came from a church that everybody goes to the altar. I don't get it when you don't come. I'm sorry, I don't get it. Maybe I'm not clear on what the altar call is. The altar call is not for just the sinners. Maybe I'm not clear. Maybe it's my fault. I'll take the blame for it. But when I came up, you could be the pastor of the church and you would be in the altar crying out to God. You could be the administrator of the church, but somehow you had a desire for God. So whether or not the message was for you, it didn't matter. You came for God. You didn't come. I just want to be in the presence of God. And people, by the hundreds, we get the Holy Ghost. Why? We had the best preaching? No, not necessarily. You just had the church that wanted it so bad. This church, put me on record, would never have revival if you don't want it. If you want to just come and just kind of hear? We go get it. We go get exactly what we all want. What is that? Paul Harvey? Who was the guy? Revolution. Patrick Henry. He said, give me liberty or give me death. You know what I pray for? God, give this church revival. Take me out of this church. Right. Don't let me pastor this church if we're not going to have revival. Right. Right. That's a good word. Let somebody else pastor this church if I can't help this church have revival. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. He's calling you out. He's asking you to sacrifice. That's what it is, you guys. See, we think that if it's sacrifice, I'm not doing it. It's supposed to be sacrifice. It's supposed to be uncomfortable. That's normal in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God suffereth violence. And the violent taketh by force. Martha, you are cumbered about with too many other things. And you went to Jesus. Come on, Jesus, get Mary. Tell Mary to come on and hang out and do what we need to do over here. Jesus said, Martha, Martha. He said her name twice. He was calling her out. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. How many got things in your life? Come on, come on. Come on, we all do. Can I keep it real? You're not the only one. We get in these pity parties. I said we. Talking to myself too. And we want everything in order, then we'll get on fire for God. In the book of Acts, things were messed up. Things were chaotic. People were getting killed. People getting their head cut off. And that's when revival flowed, when they were uncomfortable. Maybe God needs to shake up some more stuff to bring us to prayer. What does God have to do to wake us up? If I'm preaching to the choir, so be it. If it's not you, fine. Pray for the rest of us. But somebody got to wake up. Somebody has to wake up. Somebody has to be called out. He says to them, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. What good part? Mary said, I'm going to be at the feet of Jesus. I don't care what he's saying. If he's talking, I'm going to be there. You hear what I'm saying? If he's speaking a word, I got to receive that word. I got to get as close as I can to him. The other stuff will take care of itself. Why? The Bible says, seek ye first. But Pastor, I got all this other stuff. You're not going to find it. But I got stuff finding me. I got blessings that are finding me. I don't have to look for them. The blessings of God follow me all the days. I can't explain to you how wonderful it is to surrender all things to God. And I see the blessings of God and the favor of God. Am I bragging? No. I'm trying to call somebody out and say, God wants the same thing for you. You're not going to get it by yourself. You're not going to get it working harder. It's not going to happen. But what will happen when you sit at the feet of Jesus? All these things will be added unto you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. But what did he say? And I will dwell in the house. You want the blessings, you got to be in the house. You want the favor of God, you got to be in the house. And you can't be here by accident saying, okay, check mark, I'm here. No, 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 no. There has to be an intentionality to touch the throne room of God. Would to God that every single service, Sister Barlow, that everybody is in an altar. Everybody is crying out to God. Whether you're praying for somebody else that needs that word, or you're saying, God, I need something. We need to be called out. I'm too busy. I'm throwing that out. I'm too busy working. I'm too busy serving. I'm too busy organizing. I'm even too busy in ministry. I'm busy with my household. I'm busy with coordinating. I'm busy with studying. I'm busy trying to get my finances together. I'm trying to get my health together. I'm trying to take care of things. I'm trying to be busy, 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 getting things in order. And the Lord is saying, can't you just sit at my feet? Martha assumed in her frustration that Jesus was on her side. No, I'm not on your side. One thing is needful. You need the good part. Martha, I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out. God is calling us to put being where he is the number one priority for my life. Hearing his word. So as we look at our text, as I wrap this up, Timothy is being talked to by Peter, by Paul. Timothy, he's calling you out what I call your funk, F-U-N-K. Funk is a funny word. Falling under new knowledge. Failing under new knowledge. You have a new way of living, but you are failing to walk in that place. You've been called out of darkness, but you've been failing under that anointing. You've been failing under the knowledge of God and the power of the Holy Ghost. You have the Holy Ghost, but you're not operating in the Holy Ghost. You're in a funk. You've been equipped with the power to live victoriously as a new creature in Christ, but you're living below that. You are in a funk. So Paul looks at Timothy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that is in thee also. When I remember correctly and think about the faith that is in thee, basically in those times that you were in before with your grandmother and your mother, there was something powerful that was inside of you. There's something about the affliction of Paul that Paul was going through that intimidated Timothy. There was something that caused Timothy to lose his faith and move into fear. There was something that happened that he was exposed to that changed his fire, changed his tenacity. Everybody's like, Timothy, you had something that stole from you somewhere along the line. Something robbed you of that passion that you had. So Paul called him out and said in verse 7, for God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, a love, and a sound mind. Getting you out of your discouragement, getting out of you being quiet, get out of your hiding, get out of your self-operating, and get to walk in the full faith and the commitment to God that God's called you to. Stir up the gift, Timothy. Stir up the faith that's inside of you, Timothy. Wake up in this hour, Timothy, it's inside of you. Stir it up. Stir up your passion. Stir up the power that denotes strength inside of you. Stir up the love that motivates you to do it. Revelation 2:4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou have left your first love. People read that wrong and think God left. God never left. We left. We left our first love. So remember, therefore, whence thou art fallen, and repent. I want you to raise your hands right now. Every one of us need to repent. Every one of us need to ask God for forgiveness. Every one of us need to cry out to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. God, you're calling me out. God, I have a past, so what? I got to go towards my future. I can't be cumbered about with the things of this world, God, and miss out with the most important thing. As words you're spitting out that you want to bless me with, God, help me, Lord, get up where I'm falling. Get me out of my wilderness, God. Get me out of my funk, oh God. I got to go back to the first works. If not, I will come unto you. I will remove the candlestick out of his place. Except you repent. Except you fall on your face and cry out to God. God can remove us from his will. He's calling somebody out. He's calling someone out to make a decision. He's calling someone out to renew your faith. He's calling someone out to rededicate yourself to him. He's calling someone out to go to a place of repentance. He's calling somebody out today. Come after me. Come after me. Come after me. I will make you fishers of men. I will make you to become. I'll do it when you commit yourself to me. I'll do it when you get serious about my kingdom. When you get real. When you get consistent. When you get faithful. I got blessings in store for you. I'm about to do a new thing in this church. But I need you on board, every one of you. Calling you out, Moses. Calling you out, Samuel. I'm calling you out, Martha. I'm calling you out, Timothy. Are you here in this place? Are you here in the Word of God? Is there something pricking your soul?
The more I find
repent!
You.
Repent! For the kingdom of God is at hand!
The more I love
repent! Repent! For the kingdom of God is at hand!
Drink from the cup in your hand.
Where's your fire? Where's your purpose? Where's your commitment to God? He'll help you. But you gotta dedicate. He'll make it happen. But you gotta say yes. Come on, James. Come on, John. Come on, Andrew. Come on, Peter. Throw down your nets. Let go of your nets. Let go of the things that just sustains you and go after God. Rededicate yourself to me. Rededicate yourself to consecration. Rededicate yourself to know me. Or I'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. You didn't want to hear my word. You didn't want to be in my presence. You didn't want to repent. You didn't want to get serious. I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out. Stir up the gift. Go back to your first love. Get revealed the Holy Ghost. Get your passion back. Turn the light back on. Tug at my heart.
It's more than
tug at my heart. Tug at my heart, God. I want to be dedicated. I want to be consecrated. I want to be committed to the will of God. I want to sit at your feet more than anything else. I want to be desperate for you. I want to go after you. I want to fire in my soul. Come on. Come on. No stop. Get hungry for God. Get hungry for God. Get desperate for God. Want more than life itself. Come on, say I'm going to give like I've never given before. If you stop paying your tithes, start giving again. Start supporting the church again. Get intentional about the work of God. We need everybody's help. We need everybody's support. We need everybody to engage. I'm about to do a new thing. I'm about to do a new thing. Come on. Stir up the gift inside of you. Stir it up. Stir it up. Stir it up. Stir it up. Stir it up.
Lay back against you.
Stir it up.
Feel your heartbeat. This love is so deep. It's more than I can stand.
Come and lay down.
And lay down.
Anointing in this sanctuary.